glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests. Amen. My dear brother and sister, from the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, a true tweet and a treaty of Christian doctrine, the following words: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. One cannot remain indifferent in the light of the incarnation of our God. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, not created, like everything else that God created. His Son was begotten of the Father before all worlds, from eternity to eternity. He is to man and to God. This completely and forever changes our perspective in life. It affects every aspect, every facet of our lives. During the week and on weekends, night and during the day, in youth and in old age, it changes our whole existence, because God made himself one of us to secure our eternal life in heaven with him. Our posture in life is completely renewed. This Christ in us and Christ with us gives us new hope, drives out all anxiety and fear and worries. Christ is born and we have seen his glory. The Christmas effect can be clearly seen throughout the rest of the days of the year. That day in which Christ became one of us marked us and changed us forever. The incarnation of Christ is something way beyond our understanding. But after that, several others came claiming to be incarnations of their gods. Siddhartha Gautama, Buddha, is one of them, or Hare Krishna, or Muhammad, Sun, or demigod, or semi-god, half-god and half-man. Muhammad claimed to be the son of Allah. Interesting thing, though, is that there is no historic evidence to any of that. We have 403 prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Christ. 403 that were never defeated, never proven false, but were confirmed when Christ was born. Unfortunately, the people for whom those prophecies were written deny his coming until today, but they are still expecting a Messiah. Our Christ came, and there is overwhelming historic evidence besides the prophecies. People that had nothing to do with the Bible or with the Jewish traditions knew what that star over Bethlehem meant when he came. They knew that this was the mark of the King of the Jews being born, the new King. They probably had studied the scriptures on their own right in their own country, and so they traveled to see the Christ. Pontius Pilate, there is serious record about a Christ, a Jesus being crucified by Pontius Pilate. These are things that the history of the world preserves for us. Others don't have such record. Others are what we would call nowadays fake news, I suppose. The literary proof of the incarnation can be seen in Herod's rage when he was told that there was a new king when he went into the region of Ramah and Bethlehem of Judea and had every single little boy killed that was 2 years or younger. That is fact. There is parallel history. Talks about that. Josephus, Eusebius. And then Simeon and Hannah. Those two, totally unknown to us, all of a sudden they appear at the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And Simeon holds this little baby, and through the Holy Spirit he knows that this is the Messiah that was promised for ages. And he thanks the Lord for having seen his little Savior, and he said, "Now let me go to sleep. Dismiss me in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation." Now he is ready to die. But he also knows that this little one has to die that we might live. The servanthood of Christ is another thing that is completely outstanding and unique. None of the others that claim to be incarnate, not even the gods of Rome, the pagan gods of Greece, who had many children with women, claim to have in any aspect a role of a servant in the lives of their believers. Only Christ comes and tells his believers, "You stay down here in the trenches while I will go up there and conquer that hill." The hill meaning death on a cross. And he went, and when he died, our death was destroyed. It was turned to dust. Our death is no longer. He conquered us back from the power and the dominion of Satan and made us his redeemed. During Christmas, we decorate our homes and our churches, but we also celebrate intensely inwardly in our hearts the gift of all gifts, Jesus Christ, God the Father giving his Son for us. There is no higher gift than that. No gift that will change our lives forever, but that one does, because it comes from an eternal, loving, and ultimately all-powerful God. We Christians do not turn on Christmas at the end of 6 weeks, the time of Christmas. We have Christmas throughout the whole life here on earth, until we reach the ultimate Christmas, the time of Christ in heaven, where we will see him perfectly face to face, no longer be subjected to any disastrous situations that can and do occur in our earthly lives. But meanwhile, the certainty and the hope of the eternal Christmas enables us to overcome everyday difficulties and circumstances. The chosen, you and I, do not have to choose. We were chosen, Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, now get a new wardrobe. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And to bind them all together, pour in a good dose of love." All of those things come through faith from God. We are born selfish. We are takers. We are not givers. "Give me, give me, give me" is our attitude from the womb on, until Christ comes in us and gives us a rebirth of the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism. And from then on, it only gets better. So we can afford wear this new wardrobe. Clothe is a very appropriate term here, because we see the clothing And when people look at us and see that we are compassionate and kind and humble, gentle and patient and loving, then Christ is being shown to the world. So you and I are the masks of God. God is behind us, looking through us at the world. And the Lord, the world looks at us and sees Christ. That would be just the ideal situation which Paul hopes for and is encouraging us to do. So we are new spiritual beings. The world, people are analyzed by who they are, by what they do, their pedigree. We, our doing and our being are intricately connected, completely and forever connected. We do because we are, and we are. Therefore, we do. And we are the children of God. So we keep doing and living our life as such, to the glory of God and to the salvation of many. May the Lord guide us along these lines. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.